Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Not-So-Hentai Corner. Again, we're covering Sekiro no Mori Dreamers. If you like the game, pick it up on mangagamer.com. Don't know if it's on sale, probably not, but if you like what you're seeing, check it out. Sometimes it goes on sale. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started, because I got a lot more to do tonight. A mood akin to having just returned from summer break swept over the school after the holiday. What's wrong? You keep looking around. Right, I forgot to tell her about that guy. We were almost always together, so the very concept of telling her things had slipped from my mind. I'll explain later. I reach my classroom without spotting Katsuragi anywhere. Hey! Good morning! You too, Seki. Good morning! Seki was surrounded by Izawa and Shohei as they seemed to return to their usual bullying routine. I ignored it till now, but since I met the guy in a music park just a few days ago, I figured I might as well butt in for a change. You should stop doing that. You're making it look like you're just fooling around, but these punches are seriously hurting him. I think it's about time you put a stop to this. The two looked at me as if I was speaking a foreign language. And though I had kept the volume low, it seemed like the entire classroom had fallen silent and was now staring at us. What the fuck? Did you watch one too many Euro cartoons over the holiday? No, he defeated, Moriyasu. After fucking fighting that thing, you would start to feel like you got some goddamn power. What do you want from us? Aizawa chuckled. His sense of justice has suddenly awakened. What? That's the dumbest thing I've heard this week. Aizawa followed me to my seat. Shohei quickly followed suit and stood on the other side of me. Fukugami, you're not dating Kirito, are you? He slipped his arm around my shoulder and indicated Kirito with his eyes. I followed his gaze to see Kirito staring at us with a puzzled expression. She didn't seem particularly worried. Not really. What happened to Tono? I wasn't dating her either. She hasn't been to school for who knows how long. Don't tell me you knocked her up. How did he even come up with that stuff? I gave him an exasperated look. Alright, back to your seats, everyone. Well, whatever. Aizawa glanced at Tsukata, who just entered the classroom, and quickly whispered something in my ear. Let's talk after school. I nodded with a sigh. What are you doing? Go back to your seats, Aizawa, Shohei. Okay.
Bye.
Right up. You notice how it says just sports on his shirt? Like, that's it? Like, he just likes all sports. They should do that. Like, have a generic sports. He's like... Like, what sport do you like? I don't know. All of them. Football, baseball, basketball, curling, hockey, whatever. It doesn't even matter. Okay, I'll be taking the attendance then. Kirito addressed me after the first period.
What's up?
What was up with that? It looked like they were picking a fight with you or something. I don't think it's anything serious. They've had a nasty attitude since the first day in class. You should teach them a lesson. That's not as easy as it sounds. Oh, you're gonna be alright. You're tough. In dreams, maybe. Although she acted as if she was just joking, the earlier incident probably worried her a little. I found a secluded place during the lunch break and told Monica what happened yesterday. I see. Then I guess that's who the guy spying on you from behind that tree is. Ed, there's someone there? There's someone here? Yes, looks like a gloomy guy. You think he's possessed by a red Bodok? I can't tell just from looking. He seems to be after me either way. Relax, I'm watching your back, so at least you won't be taken unaware. I don't know why the S is there. Thanks. Aizawa approached me as soon as homeroom ended. Right, I had to deal with these guys too. Fukigami. Yes? Tsukada suddenly peeked back in. I wonder if that's Tsukada. Tsukada suddenly peeked back into the classroom. There's something I'd like to discuss with you. Can you come with me to the teacher's room? I had not the slightest idea what it could have been. But the three of us had plans to hang out today. What? You realize the school business is more important than that, don't you? Aizawa slipped his hand around my neck and began whispering again. You lucked out, but just for one day. Let's go. Okay. I approached Tsukada as the two left the classroom. Well then, let's be off. Okay? I stared at his back as he walked ahead of me. After the incident in that house, I had Monica confirm what she saw. I needed to know whether or not the person that attacked us, the Joker, was Tsukada. But she couldn't tell. Still couldn't tell, rather. Their build and voices are similar, but I couldn't see the Joker's face, so that was all she could say. You can't go around calling a person a murderer without proof. That was true. But while I didn't have any proof, I had plenty of reason to be suspicious. Hold on. My bad, guys. Was it this man that killed Monica? I couldn't help but think that from the very first time I heard him laugh. Well then, Tsukada turned around in front of the teacher's room. To tell the truth, I don't have anything for you. Huh? No. Tsukada slipped his arm around my shoulder in an overbearingly friendly fashion. I wish he'd stop doing stuff like this, but I endured it for now. You were fighting with Aizawa and Shohei, weren't you? To be honest, I've got my hands full with those two. Eh? So you did this to get them off my back? Yep. He gave a friendly smile and stared at me from up close. I couldn't quite share the sentiment because of my suspicions, but Tsukada was one of the most popular teachers in our school. He might have been a pretty good teacher if you looked at him objectively, which I couldn't do. But, if you're aware, then why have you done anything when they were picking on Seki? He gave me a surprised look.
Thank you.
Yes, they've been picking on him every day for who knows how long. He blinked a few times, completely dumbfounded, which kind of creeped me out, so I fell silent. Then his shoulders shuddered. That's not reassuring. What's so funny? I addressed him in a cold tone, but he continued to laugh, ignoring me. Monica, too, regarded Sukuna with furrowed brows. No, it's just, well, teachers are people too, I suppose. Huh? I don't care for fatties. He squeezed my shoulder once and pulled away. Anyway, that's all. Be careful on your way home. So we got a teacher that supports bullying because Seki is fat. Oh no! Is that based? It might be. I don't know. Goodbye, Mr. Tsukuda. Yeah, goodbye. I stared at his back as he walked into the teacher's room. Just what kind of person was he? I still couldn't quite grasp him. He's a pretty weird teacher. Well, yeah. Yeah. Before I thought it was just my own opinion, but anyone would have found this incident a bit weird. I thought he was a nice guy for saving you, but yeah, I wouldn't be so sure about that. What are you planning to do? What are you planning to do with those two? They're gonna go after you the first chance they get tomorrow. It'd be hard to take them both at once, even for you. Why don't you buy yourself a self-defense spray or something? Self-defense spray. That sounded a bit much, but it didn't hurt to be extra safe. Yeah, I guess I'll do that. I guess he is buying self-defense spray. Kirito contacted us, saying she had something to report to us, so we ended up gathering in her house that night. Phew! I got down from the bike as I reached her gates. The training seemed to be paying off. I didn't feel as winded as the last few times I got here. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Hello. I sat down on one of the cushions. Anyway, without further ado, this male student, Katsuragi, was following Fukugami today after all. Did you notice him? Yeah. He didn't seem to realize that, though. He went straight home after school. I kind of followed him all the way up to his house, but he made a strange detour along the way. To where? It was to a woman's underwear store. What? I wonder if that's his kink. That's a bit creepy. Did he just go to look? No, he bought a couple. Kutsuragi mentioned something about women attending him. Maybe that wasn't just a fantasy. It is possible he might have kidnapped and was now holding someone in his apartment. I heard of instances like that from TV. He said something strange in the amusement park too. I hope he doesn't have a woman present in this. He said something strange in the amusement park too. I hope he doesn't have a woman imprisoned in his house. Yeah, you know, they used to think that about, like, really creepy guys. Like, they used to think that they might have a woman locked up in their house or some shit. And that's changed a lot. Now they're like, oh, yeah, they're locked in the basement, you know, or they're in their mother's basement or whatever. But now it's like, but before, yeah, they used to actually think that you might have something, like, some woman, like, tied up or something in your house. Yeah, they used to believe that shit about really creepy guys. And unfortunately, that was actually the case. Here in the United States, there was a guy that had several women actually tied up in his house. There's a meme about this. I can't remember. There's a song that the guy made. It's like, I ate ribs with this dude, but I didn't have a clue. Yeah, it's a good one. You gotta look that one up. But it was basically about the guy lived right next door to a dude that had all these women. He said, I could tell something was wrong when a little white girl ran into a black man's arms. It's a good one. It's a good one, guys. But, like, they made fun. Like, the song is funny. We used to play that song all the time. But basically, it was just a song they made based on that man's testimony, who was his neighbor. I mean, he's like, man, I ate ribs with this dude. Like, he was cool. I didn't know nothing wrong with him. And he's like, I didn't realize he had, like, all these women in his basement tied up. Yeah. That's crazy. And dude was, like, living in a regular old residential area. He wasn't out there in some, like, you know, way out there in the country or something like that. No, this guy was right there in regular old suburban America, almost, you want to say. And had all these girls locked up. Nobody knew anything about it. So, yeah, I thought dude was all right, but I know he had all these damn women in this house. That was some shit, folks. Yeah. It seemed like Shizumiya was thinking along the same lines. It's not really within my capabilities to confirm that, though. The dude is kind of an asshole. He's definitely an incel. But I think it's a little bit too much to say he's got, like, a woman tied up in his fucking house. It's a little hardcore. Wow. Then should we contact the police? Though I guess nothing will come out of involving them at this time. Yeah, I mean, you basically are assuming because of someone's behavior that they have a person in their house, like, tied up. That's how people get shot. That's actually called, What is that? Where the guy in Call of Duty, basically, there was a guy in swatting. Basically, that guy in Call of Duty lost or something. He called another guy, said that there was somebody abducted in his home. And they called the police, and the police came in, and they almost shot the guy because they thought he was literally had somebody in his home, like, tied up. That's a pretty bad deal, man. That's pretty hardcore. So, yeah, that's kind of what they're trying to do. And, oh, I do not condone that kind of behavior at all. You should leave SWAT teams for people that actually deserve, like, need, you know, actual issues, like, hardcore things. If there's some guy going around shooting a bunch of people, that's when the SWAT team needs to come in and put him down. You know, I mean, I guess they used to do that. Now I guess they just handcuff him and take him to the station. They don't, you know, just get rid of him. I mean, I don't know. Kirito nodded. He had a straight home after that, and that's as far as I tailed him. I wondered if something strange was happening in his apartment, but I couldn't just break in. Like, I mean, he's got a woman tied up in his apartment room somewhere? Man, that's even crazier. We nodded. The View Tower Sakura Nomori apartment complex that Tsune and Miss Miyako lived in was designed to be pretty well soundproof between the residents. Okay. Between the residences. That's actually spelled right. His neighbors wouldn't have an idea what was happening on the other side of their walls. It's pretty crazy to assume that, but this is a crazy game, so I don't know. Maybe he does.
それから私はまた学校に引き返して、葛城のクラスメイトに話を聞いてみたの。まだ誰かしら残っているだろうと思って。
I turned back and returned to school, thinking I could ask his classmates about him.
頑張るじゃない。
You're quite the hard worker.
まあね。
Yeah.
でもそちらは大して収穫もなかったわ。というのは、みんなほとんど名前も知らないような反応なんだもの。
But that didn't lead anywhere. Or rather, most of them didn't even seem to remember his name.
名前も？クラス替えしてもう1ヶ月も経つのに。
His name?But it's been over a month since we changed classes. It seems like he doesn't have much of a presence at school. Yeah, I gotta agree with that. He was in the same class as me last year, but it took me a while to remember him too. He didn't stand out. But whoever could remember him were basically of the same opinion as us.Should that be were or was? He was weird and potentially dangerous. And while he doesn't stand out in school, some of them heard rumors about him. What kind? Nothing good. Some are about him torturing animals like Hatsune described, and others about violence at home. Now again, these are rumors. This is how people, you know, can get in serious trouble, get arrested. It's really bad. You know, that's why you don't need to act like that guy. Do not be that guy. Like, even if, women are maybe, don't do it. Just do your thing.You know, be presentable, be, you know, I don't want to say the word nice, but be kind, you know. When women speak with you, just, you know, be... Even if you're one of these guys in the red pill rage and you're like, oh, like, calm down your shit when you're in the public. I know you're running through it. It's like a poison in your body that you gotta, you know how a poison gets in your body and you have to let it get out, like it'll work its way out through your bloodstream eventually and you'll be okay, but you basically have to let that shit work its way out, and that means that you don't go in and because the more you do that, the more you're gonna put people on edge, and then people are gonna actually want to come after you and do all kinds, because they'll say that you did this, they'll say you did that, they'll say you did that. I mean, it doesn't matter. When I was young and I was like a goth guy, I still have nothing against women, but when I was young, you know, I was a goth guy and I was all into like heavy metal and stuff, and they thought that I would satanic rituals, all that kind of shit. They think all that kind of shit, and they're, you know, worried, you know, so they get really freaked out about it. But, people will assume things, and they could bring, like, officers and stuff like that. So that's why I think that a lot of the guys really need to just, I mean, even if you're upset about the TikToks and the stuff that you see from guys in the manosphere, you can't just be like, you can't just go crazy. You have to move on from it and just realize, you know what, this is what it is, and find something else to do with your life. You know, you're just like, it's like, instead of saying, I'm upset about all these women doing, okay, they're different, they've changed, there's a lot of brainwash, there's a lot of changing in the mind. Maya and I talked about this. It's not going away. It's not going to be 1950s, which I'm glad Drexel's doing a show on that, where he's going to eventually talk about how the 1950s weren't the way that people talk about them, even though, I mean, they weren't like the shows. It's not like Leave It to Beaver or Dick Van Dyke or anything like that. It was not. There was always issues. But, again, it's definitely not going to be a different era. It's going to continue to go the way it's going. So you can either deal with that, or, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, you can either deal with that, or you can deal with that, basically. I mean, there's one option here. You don't have to. If you're going to do the second option and you're going to say, oh, I'm going to act standoffish towards women and act like a bitter incel, then you'll see what happens to you. You know, they will call people on you. They will do what has happened in the UK. They will do what has happened in, I think, parts of the United States. So don't be that person. I don't care how bitter you are, how upset you are. And definitely don't be suicidal, because it's not worth taking your life over. I noticed one guy I had an argument with, he said that women have no... It's like, man has no purpose but to reproduce and have babies. That's what we're here for. I mean, even if that's the case, you know, it's certainly not something that's happening now in this modern age. And it's not happening as much, and especially with the young people, which are actually supposed to be responsible for most of that. Because people usually have kids when they're younger. They usually don't have kids when they're older. So you just gotta deal with the change. Birth decline is just up all over the world in Western countries. I guess you could say, I don't want to say the world, but Western countries. That's not going to change. So being that guy, you don't want to be that guy. You saw how that guy acted.
Oh, I got bitches everywhere.
You don't want to be that guy.
Oh, you go to these women to hang around you, blah, blah, blah.
No, no, no. Just ignore it. Go on about your day. Be kind. Be courteous. People don't understand what courteous is. When you say, hey, how you doing, you know, or you walk by people. You never want to bring off a air that you're this unapproachable person. Because if you show people that you're unapproachable, they're automatically going to assume you're unapproachable. They're going to be like, oh, I don't want to deal with this person because they're acting in this way. I mean, if you saw a person that was flipping the fuck out, like just literally flipping the fuck out like all the time, you wouldn't want to get near them, would you? Because you'd be afraid that you get hit or attacked or killed. Like, that's dangerous, man. Animals sense that. We are animals in that sense. And animals can sense when there's like, it's almost like a rabid animal in a way. If you see an animal flipping the fuck out, as another animal, you're not going to want to get near it because you're afraid it's going to eat you. So you're going to be like, you know what? I'm going to stay away from this person. You know, you kind of put on your defense mechanism because they're obviously dangerous. So you never want to come off as a dangerous person, no matter what's going through your head. Never come off as a dangerous person. And again, if you're having problems, like serious issues that you can't help, or the women are just, they're just triggering you so hard, get therapy, counseling, I don't know. Talk to some of us guys in the server. Talk to somebody that'll tell you, hey, calm the hell down and find something else to do with your life. You know, sometimes guys need that. Because there's a lot of guys out there that are just struggling. They're going to end up like that dude. And they're going to think that you've got people in your house tied up. And they're going to think that you harm animals. They're going to think that you do all kinds of horrible things. I mean, not saying that this won't go to this extremes in this horror novel. Fiction horror novel. But in real life, that's very seldom the case. And usually people that have that issue need help. Like mental help. That's where they really need to get the facilities involved and things like that, and see if they can get you on the course of being a productive individual. So that's all the information I have on that situation. But again, violence at home, torturing animals, women tied up, all these things are horrible rumors that can ruin somebody's life. So don't ever come off to that way. The less sociable you act towards people, and everybody has their times when they don't want to talk, it's fine. I've known a lot of people that sometimes they're talkative and sometimes they don't want to say a word, and it's perfectly fine. But if somebody says hey to you, or it says, hey, how are you doing, good morning, always say something nice to them. Always respond, even if you're having the shittiest day in the world. You know, just say, oh, you know, I'm good. I'm doing all right. I'm fine. Because people want to make sure that you're okay. I mean, even if you flip out every now and again, because people do. I mean, I tend to flip out every once in a while. But for the most part, people don't really mind that much. Because, you know, again, I very rarely am like that. And for the most part, if I do flip out, it's because of situations that are beyond my control. Maybe the government, society, the jab mandate, stuff like that. Stuff I don't want to talk about here on YouTube, because this will be on YouTube. But, yeah, just stuff like that will make me upset. Or current work situations, like I've been rather upset about my schedule, so I kind of blew up in front of my bosses one day in the private room. You know, we had a private chat, but they didn't get crazy. They just understood more of what was going on and how I didn't want to be in that position, how they kind of forced me in that position, and how they're working hard to get me into another position. But they can't because nobody wants to work there. It's hard. It's a really hard time right now. And again, especially because of the time, you don't want to come off as standoffish or dangerous or act like a feral animal. I don't care how bad you feel right now. It is definitely not the time for that. And I like how Drexel said, some guys will have, like, maybe their anger will be at a 5, and they'll, like, they used to get into fights and stuff like that. Like, you'll get into a fight and, like, maybe even, like, boxing and stuff like that. Get your energy, get your anger out in a boxing ring, something like that. Or punch a bag, something like that. When your anger's a 5, and you can kind of mitigate it down. But guys will fucking bottle it up until their anger's, like you said, a 58. And that's when you have the shooter situations, the dangerous situations like that. And that is, no, men need to be active. Men need to be able to channel their anger and their emotions. Because if they don't, they're going to unleash them in other ways. And I've seen it. I've seen a lot of guys just taking another path completely. Not calling themselves men, you know, the acronym or anything like that, but they are doing different things. They are trying different things. Men are really trying right now because they understand what's going on. And it's not great for women either. It's just not a good situation in society. Of course, Thinking Ape, he could talk about that forever. I mean, he's made several videos about that. But I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say on that particular subject. But just don't be that guy. Yeah, now they said that when the first semester just started, one of the girls' PE uniforms had disappeared from her locker. Yeah, I mean, of course they said. Now, we don't know. This guy could be a really bad pervert. He could be in this thing. But you see how things start up, and they start to think you're the most horrible person in the world? And they suspected Katsuragi. Underwear and PE uniform. I wonder if he's simply into stuff like that. Well, at least she kind of understands he has a fetish, like underwear and PE. Like, some girls will sell their stinky socks to make a lot of money. I don't like it, but, I mean, it's not for me. I'm not the guy buying the stinky socks. The stinky sock guy loves it. And the woman, she likes it because she's getting the money. Oh, I wear my socks for a couple days, get them all stinky, and then sell them to this guy, and he makes, give me about $500. I don't know how much they make, but there you go. Some people are into that stuff. She says maybe. That was all Kirito had for us. He definitely didn't sound like a nice guy. Well, I don't like that term anyway. He didn't sound like a gentleman or a regular dude. But that doesn't mean he was possessed. Yeah, that's true too. That doesn't mean he had a bodok, but he was just kind of an asshole. A man going through some things is what I think. I definitely want to explore in his head to see if we can kind of find out how he imagines himself, the kind of things that he sees. This is going to be a really good deep dive into that guy, or into that character of this incel. This is really interesting. It's actually very, it's very, I want to say recent or current. because we have an incel epidemic. And I'm not talking about the incel in the term that, you know, when I did the interview with Richard. I'm talking about the incel or the red pill rage guy that is just losing his mind over women and not being able to get laid and all this other thing. Yeah. That is a bit of an epidemic. That is a problem. So I was hoping to have you check his dreams a little, Mahoro. Alright, I suppose I can do that. Huh? You can do that? Yes, this is a pretty convenient power, if I say so myself. No one can hide secrets from me. If I can find out all about the girl that occupies the majority of your thoughts right away, Shinji. Haha. I was just kidding. Eh? It's true that I can check dreams, but it's not like I can get anything out of them. People tend to be more relaxed and reveal more there, but they won't say things that they definitely know is not a good idea to. That was probably why she didn't sound that enthusiastic when Kirito suggested it. The convenient part is that they forget everything once they wake up, so they don't realize they've been questioned and looked into. That's one of the more covert advantages of this. Well, to tell the truth, there's one more trick I could try, but it usually doesn't work too well for me. What do you mean? Dreams have layers, you see. Shizumiya borrowed a piece of paper from Kirito and then drew a triangle with two horizontal lines piercing through it. Last time you went to the uppermost layer, which was closest to reality, which also made it easy to escape from. A pair of doors appeared after you defeated Moriyasu, right? We called it the core, but in truth it's just the second, middle layer. In other words, there's still a deeper part. Really? Moriyasu's core looked like a dark cave. And the surroundings in that cave looked like they had melted in darkness. Did it really not end there? That's the true deepest layer, and while the surface is always individual, the deepest layer is more collective. It's like a pool where multiple subconsciousness gather. Multiple subconsciousness? So if you manage to get there, you could give a look at everyone's inner thoughts, even our own. But then it's possible you might get stuck there and never be able to come back. Shizumiya touched the triangle's upper part with her pen. This world is exceedingly far from ours. The deepest layer, I hear, is even connected to the other world, the afterlife. Afterlife. So I've never really been there before myself.
それはその世界は現実ではないという 気づきを得ること。
There's a way to come back, from what I know at least. All you've got to do is realize that the world you're in isn't reality. Are you saying it's convincing like reality?
みたいね。夢と違って。それで、その手段というのは結構他愛のないもので。
It seems so. The method itself seems pretty simple, but... Sounds pretty simple, but... Shizumiya took something out of her bag.
何でもいいんだけど、例えばこういうの。
Anything can work, even something like this. Is that a spinning top?
So.
Yes. Shizumiya spun it.
しばらくすれば倒れてしまう。当たり前よね。でも、真相ではそうではないかもしれない。
It's gonna fall eventually, right? But in the deepest layer, it may continue to spin endlessly.
ここは現実ではないという気づき。それは人によって様々で、ここである必要はないんだけど。
All you've got to do is realize you're not in reality. There are plenty of ways to do that, not just with games like this.
今の話、シンジ君も一応覚えておいて。夢にダイブした時、
Keep this in mind, Shinji. You can never know if you might accidentally wander into the deepest layers you keep diving in dreams. Okay, I got it. Anyway, I'll try diving tonight. I'll tell you how it goes tomorrow. Thanks.I didn't know if it was because of my warning, but Aizawa and Shohei didn't bother Seki today. Hey! Yo! Good morning! The two regarded me with heinous smiles. It probably wasn't so much my warning as it was they now had their sights on me. Everyone gathered in the inner yard during the lunch break. I didn't find out anything conclusive. I see.But I talked to him in front of his apartment, and it definitely seemed like he was hiding something inside. He was actually surprisingly friendly, but he didn't let me come in no matter how hard I tried. Friendly? I can't even imagine him acting like that. Kirito rolled her eyes.He's looking again, and he looks even more upset than yesterday. I wonder if it's because he's jealous. It must be tough being so unpopular. Haha, it all depends on your conversation technique. You should seriously...You should seriously watch yourself, Fukugami. I nodded. We'll still keep an eye on you from afar today. It might not be by much, but a woman can still help out in the fight. Yeah. I can kick his balls from behind.Yeah, I guess. I mean, that'll work. Alright, there might be two unrelated others that will try to pick a fight with me today. So if that happens, don't interfere if you can. I will attest to hitting your balls on anything being really fucking painful. Alright, guys, if you know it, like, even the slightest tap, like, damn, I accidentally hit this. Oh, you'll feel it. You will feel it.That's just a regular fight at school, so I don't need help with it. You're gonna get into a fight? Okay. I could probably avoid Aizawa and Shohei for a while, but I didn't want to let this drag on for too long. The two approached me again after school. Though not right away this time, they were probably waiting for Tsukuda to leave. Yo, you've got time after this, you do, don't you? I nodded. Then let's go have a talk on the roof. Sure. I stood up. Kureha's got her eyes on you. Make sure not to disappoint everyone, okay? Yeah, ouch! What the? My stomach started hurting out of nowhere. Fuck! I wonder if it's because of the leftover sashimi I bought yesterday. Shit! I need to drop by the bathroom. I'll catch up with you later. I really hope you're not chickening out. I'm not! I'm in fucking pain! Fuck! Shohei hurried out of the classroom, holding his stomach with one hand and behind with the other. Uh-oh. He's gonna shit himself! If you don't hurry up and get to the bathroom. Aizawa says, talk about pathetic. You sure you don't need to go to the toilet, Fukagami? I'd rather you didn't piss yourself like Seki, ha ha ha.
Yo.
Oh, there he is. Katsuragi. I need you for a bit. Come with me. That was quite a way to address a person. I had no reason to act like his servant. It seemed even Aizawa was taken aback for a moment. What the hell is up with that guy? Katsuragi turned to Aizawa as though having noticed him for the first time. What? Fukagami has business with me today. Go away, dumbass. You can do your business later, fucktard. What did you just call me? Aizawa walked away from me and seized Katsuragi by the collar. Katsuragi was of a much smaller build, yet he displayed not a hint of fear. Whatever. I guess I can take care of you, too. Aizawa looked around. Upon realizing that people were staring, he let Katsuragi go. I'll fucking teach you both a lesson. Come with me to the roof. That was my intention from the start. The mood took a turn for the really abnormal as the three of us walked along the corridor. Have you been to the bathroom? He's asking people about the bathroom. Hmm? I don't want you to shit yourself. It says you're really starting to get on my nerves. I'll fucking break your skull, dumbass. That's my line. You're going to die today. As usual, there was no one else on the roof. Well then. Katsuragi bounced backwards. What? That's all you've got? He says, normally I'd let you off with this, but you've talked way too much shit to me today. You're gonna be eating through a tube for a week, dumbass. He approached Katsuragi, who was still lying on the ground. Okay, I definitely didn't expect it to go this way. The three had appeared behind my back before I knew it, Oh, yeah, before I knew it, but I didn't want to let Katsuragi out of my sight. He clutched something in his pocket. Aizawa, stand down. You're gonna get hurt. Hurt? Me? Ha! You mean he is? No, I was pretty sure it was Aizawa who was in danger here. A bunch of Bodoks had appeared out of thin air. Uh-oh. One landed on the fence. Another hung down from it. A few others balanced on the edge of the roof. And there was some on the water tower. I couldn't sense anything resembling consciousness from them, yet it still seemed like they were observing the incident like a play. They were waiting for a tragedy to occur. It's like, I'll mount the fucker. Aizawa! Katsuragi pulled his hand out of his pocket as I caught sight of something glinting off the Katsuragi pulled his hand out of his pocket as I caught sight of something glinting off the afternoon sun. Uh-oh. He sounded like he had no idea what happened. I've got a nosebleed. How dare you punch me, you fucked up piece of shit. I won't just kill you. I'll make sure you feel it. It's like, oh, what the fuck? Aizawa grabbed Katsuragi's hands, but he quickly let go and looked at his own hands. Like, blood? Katsuragi swung the blade at Aizawa. A chilling sound of rending flesh resounded across the roof. Like, stop! Is that your stomach there? You ate curry today, didn't you? Ha ha ha! I can tell from the smell. It hurts! No shit! This is a jackknife that totally infringes on the Sword Control Act. And it's got a jagged blade just to make it more exciting. Of course it hurts to have something like that rummage around inside of your stomach. Oh, I found the liver. Or is this the pancreas? Well, it doesn't matter. I bet a delinquent piece of shit like you smokes every day. Want me to confirm the color of your lungs? Hmm? Ha 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 ha. What has he done? I turn around to see the others behind me, their faces completely pale. I couldn't blame them. They may have unusual powers inside the dreams, but they were just regular girls in reality. I was scared too. A person was being killed right in front of my eyes. I felt dizzy from the very idea. Oh, everyone's here. Lying on the ground, Katsuragi turned only his head towards us. You can tell everything to the teachers or the police, but no evidence will stay behind anyway. We gasped and exchanged looks at his words. That meant Katsuragi really was. You're starting to wish to die already, aren't you, Aizawa? I wouldn't want you to live with this kind of pain either. I knew it. There's no way a normal person could do something like that. Yeah. He didn't change his expression. He didn't even seem excited. He was killing his schoolmate like it was no big deal, just an everyday task. Aizawa's body finally relaxed and he fell over Katsuragi. That next moment, his shape grew unstable and, for a moment, he turned into tiny particles that floated into place. But they still remained human shape, making it look like Aizawa was still there, but they slowly began dispersing into the air. All traces of Aizawa were disappearing. Aizawa! I didn't like the guy, but he didn't deserve to die like this. He probably couldn't believe it happened up until the very end. See? The particles hung in the air, and instead of spreading further, they suddenly began reassembling. They started to take shape that was no longer Aizawa, but that of a Bodok. It let out a sad, or at least its features most certainly looked sad, soundless scream and melted into the air. You could see that monster too, Well, that doesn't matter. Katsuragi slowly stood up. See, even the blood I got on myself disappeared. And his curry-smelling body has disappeared too. No proof of my crime remains. Katsuragi chuckled, then contorted his face and rubbed his nose. It's still not stopping. Damn piece of shit. He pisses me off even after he dies. I wonder if I'll feel better after I kill you, Katsuragi approached us, knife in hand. The blade had been covered with blood and human flesh just moments ago, glinted in the sun like new. Wait. Why are you doing this? I don't remember doing anything to you. Katsuragi stopped. The sharp look in his eyes remained. It didn't seem like he changed his mind. He tapped his fingers against the ridges of the blade a few times, then suddenly opened his mouth. You piss me off. That's all? Is that not good enough? I'm not a normal person anymore. I was chosen, like a hero or something. From my perspective, both you and Aizawa are nothing more than insects. Why should I think twice before crushing your annoying asses, You fool! Whoops, hold on. It said you think you were chosen, but what you've gained is not a power, it's a curse. Who gave you permission to talk to me? You'll probably be unable to even die normally now.
I'm
You piss me off, bitch. I hate being lectured by women most of all. Although he remained relatively calm throughout the whole incident, Katsuragi seemed to finally boil over, contorting his face like a madman. If I say the sky's green, then that means it is. Don't you get it? Hmm? He gripped his knife harder. But as he was about to lunge at me, I took out my spray and fired a burst into his face. You bastard! Unable to see, he began swinging his knife left and right. We quickly retreated to a safe distance. I think we should run for now. Yes. Although she spoke calmly just earlier, when I glanced back, Kirito looked as pale as a ghost. Huh? You? What? What's with that look? Sorry, I didn't mean it. I must have been wearing quite an intimidating expression without realizing it. Where's Aizawa? He went home. Huh? We made up, and he went home since you weren't showing up. He took out his smartphone with an incredulous look. There's no one on the roof. I wouldn't recommend going there. That probably made it sound even more suspicious, but I had to warn him. Okay, bye then, I guess. We found Atsune, made her leave club early, and left the school. The four of us besides her turned around as soon as we passed by the gate. Unexplained incidents were happening in the town, but the school had been our place of refuge until now. But someone had been murdered there in cold blood just hours earlier, and no one else would even know about it. We're having an emergency meeting in my household tonight. Okay. Got it. Color finally began returning to their faces. I could tell they were high on adrenaline just from their expressions. And I was no exception. Wild emotions raged inside my body. And that didn't feel too good. God, I can't believe that man. He may be possessed by a Bodok, but that was too much. How can someone be so awful? What happened? We exchanged looks, wondering if we should tell her. There was a murder. What? A murder? Figuring out it'd be best if she took this seriously, I told her straight. That's why we had you leave early from the club. There's no way we could leave you in school right now. What about the police? The police won't be able to do anything about this. It's that kind of murder. I explained her the mechanics of Bodok's before. Hatsune gave me a small nod with an anxious expression. Anyway, see you later. Yeah. Later. See you. None of us smiled as we parted ways. Let's go home. I'll walk you to your apartment. Okay. I told her it was Katsuragi that done it as we walked back. It drives me nuts just thinking he lives in the same apartment complex as you. But it's only going to be dangerous today. I'm going to take care of this tonight. I clenched my fists. Aizawa wasn't my friend, but I couldn't avoid feeling righteous indignation after seeing him being murdered right in front of my eyes. Katsuragi would pay for his crimes. Is it okay if we go right to my house after you change? I'll wait for you outside. Okay. I kept an extra watchful eye on my surroundings. The plan was to contact her on the phone as soon as he appeared. I'm back. Good, let's go. I urged her to follow me. Hatsune! I'm scared. It's gonna be alright. I patted her on the head in hopes of calming her down. We'll take care of Katsuragi tonight. No, you don't understand. I'm scared you'll get hurt. He killed a person. That's crazy. Yeah. Shinji, do you really have to be involved in this? Yeah, we're the only ones that can do something about him. The number of victims will only increase if we sit on our hands and do nothing. Hatsune lowered her gaze to the ground and clutched even harder on my arm. I heard what happened. Even Kirito's usually easygoing grandfather met us with a stern look on his face. Kureha was unusually agitated when she came home, so I had her tell me everything. A murder at school of all places. Did the victim turn into a bodok? Yes. That's a sad state of affairs. Both for him and his relatives. Their son has suddenly disappeared. They're in for a long fight between vain hope and despair. I truly feel sorry for them. I could relate to an extent. The first thing the bereaved wished for after the plane crash were the bodies of the victims. But most of them had been reduced to indistinguishable scraps of flesh by the strength of the impact. From what I knew, they only managed to retrieve about 10 recognizable corpses out of over 500 passengers. Another 100 managed to retain vague humanist shapes, but the rest were just pieces and parts. But the families tried to get as much as they could. The same was true for us. We couldn't relax until we did everything we could to get as much of them back. I don't know what had gotten into us back then. In any case, we felt an odd sense of relief when it was over. I couldn't forget that sensation, even now. It's my understanding that you're going to be fighting this Katsuragi tonight. Be careful, he may be an even stronger opponent than Moriyasu. Huh? Why do you think so? It's just a hunch, but I believe that Moriyasu hadn't killed anyone else besides that girl you were looking for. You mean there's a difference depending on the number of victims? In a sense, Moriyasu had most of his soul completely devoured by the time he mustered enough strength to kill just one person. That didn't come out right. The value of a person's life, regardless of how many, is immeasurable. But in any case, the number of victims is more important. The more one is capable to kill, the bigger his innate capacity for evil likely is. The strength to continue evil acts, evil, just like good, comes with its own strengths and weaknesses. Moriyasu was obsessed with Tono, but Katsuragi barely even knew Aizawa or me. Yet he still set out to kill us without hesitation. He doesn't think of humans any more than insects. It sounds like his madness runs deep, and may become a serious problem in a fight within dreams. In any case, just make sure to be careful. Right. Roger. Roger. Roger.
じっちゃんはああ言っていたけど、大丈夫でしょう、きっと。
Despite what Grandpa said, I'm sure we're gonna be okay.
そういう根拠のない自信こそ、じっちゃんさんは戒めたんじゃないの？
I think this baseless confidence of yours is exactly what he's worried about.
根拠ならあるわよ。
It's not baseless.
ん？どんな？
Hmm? What do you mean?
だって仲間が増えたじゃない。
Our numbers increased. It was just like Kirito to say something like that straight to the concerned party's face without a hint of hesitation. Arisaka seemed to have been both embarrassed and pleased by the statement.
まあ久しぶりだからね。せめて足手まといにはならないようにしないと。
Well, it's been a while since I was on the field. I'll do my best not to get in the way at least.But will Katsuragi actually return to normal once we defeat that red Bodok? He didn't commit any crimes as far as the law was concerned, even though he killed somebody. As ridiculous as that sounded, that's how it was. Yes, but we shouldn't think about it. That's beyond Sakura and Mori Dreamer's jurisdiction.
私たちの仕事はボダッハを倒すまでのことだわ。その先は考えないようにしましょう。
Our job is to fight Bodox. Nothing more, nothing less. Okay. Okay, now we're in the dream. And this is where I'm going to let you guys go. I know, right? You don't want me to, but I'm going to let you go. I've got other ones to do.But we are going to have part 13, and that's going to be the fight. So you guys definitely want to fucking catch that. And if you can't wait, you can pick the game up in Manga Gamer and go through to this point, and you can see the fight for yourself. But I would definitely be bringing it to you next week. So, hope you guys enjoyed this one, and that's the Grim Lord, and I am out of here. Later.